experts warn a renewed push by sections of the Liberal Party to build coal-fired power stations could put communities at risk of increased exposure to toxic pollutants. Several Queensland branches want high-energy, low-emissions, or HEALEY, coal stations on the agenda of the upcoming Liberal Party conference. But air pollution researcher at Environmental Justice Australia, Dr. James Whelan, says HEALEY power stations only reduce emissions by a small amount and still emit toxic byproducts.
Coal-fired power stations are highly toxic, the most toxic way to generate electricity. These so-called HELI, or high-efficiency, low-emission power stations, burn slightly less coal in order to generate the same amount of power, so their emissions are reduced to the same extent, in the order of 5 to 10%. But still, that's massive emissions compared to the alternative of renewable power.
And, of course, we all know about CO2 being one of the major byproducts of burning coal, but there are also quite a lot of other pollutants that come out of those smokestacks as well. What sorts of things are we talking about?
Coal-fired power stations emit more than 30 toxic substances to air and water. And in fact, they're the single greatest source of some of those toxic pollutants. We're especially concerned about fine particle pollution, PM2.5, oxides of sulfur and oxides of nitrogen. And then you have heavy metals as well, mercury, cadmium and so on. Power stations are a massive source of those pollutants, which can travel anywhere up to a couple of hundred kilometres away, such that Sydney's air pollution is dominated by air pollution that's come from Central Coast power stations more than 100 kilometres away.
Dr. Whelan says exposure to the chemicals emitted by coal-fired power stations can cause a range of health problems.
More than 3,000 Australians die prematurely each year as a result of fine particle pollution, and coal-fired power stations are the single greatest source of that pollution. Even at levels or concentrations below the national standard, these pollutants are causing a range of health impacts that shorten our lives and worsen existing respiratory or cardiovascular problems.
One of the most toxic chemicals emitted by coal power stations is mercury. Currently, only New South Wales places limits on mercury emissions from power stations. Last year, Environmental Justice Australia noted the limits, in some cases, are over 600 times of that placed on power stations in the United States. Senior lecturer of climate system science at the University of Melbourne, Dr. Robin Schofield.
Anthropogenic activities have doubled the amount of mercury in the atmosphere. It increases the cycling with the biosphere about five times, so it interacts on water, on plant material, and eventually gets taken up into the biosphere.
And it's what's called a bioaccumulant, right? What does that mean?
It means that once it's in a bioavailable form, and that usually means that if it methylates, that'll happen with microbes, first of all. They'll methylate it, and then larger animals will eat those microbes, and it'll accumulate up through the system. So the top part of your food chains will have high mercury levels.
Australia has signed, but not yet ratified, the Minamata Convention, which regulates the use of mercury and aims to reduce mercury emissions. 94 countries, including the US and China, are now parties to the convention. If Australia were to join the party, we would have to develop a national plan to control and reduce mercury emissions.
We'd have to look at processes that limit the amount of mercury being put into the atmosphere. So we'd want to limit the production of mercury and installing the best available technologies to do that, and there are many ways that you can bring mercury down in the processes of electricity generation. So there would be an obligation to really look at the electricity generation sector.
Right now, emissions standards vary considerably between the states.
In some states, those concentrations might be 5 or even 10 times higher than in another state. But then when we compare Australia's standards for the power stations to international practices in Europe, the US, Japan and other places, we find that our emission standards can be, in some instances, several hundred times higher than those that are acceptable from power stations in other countries. Pollution licences for power stations in Australia were largely written when those power stations were new, 40, 30 years ago, and they really haven't kept pace with the times. The good news is that there are pollution controls that can be retrofitted to coal-fired power stations. Oxides of sulphur can be reduced by 90%, and oxides of nitrogen can be reduced by about the same order, about 90%. Now, those two technologies are entirely standard. They're obligatory on coal-fired power stations in the US, in Europe, in Japan, but not yet here in Australia. And that's something our organisation will be focusing on in the months ahead.
Dr. Whelan says while implementing emissions controls will cost us money, we need to consider the health implications of not proceeding with them.
We need to weigh costs against benefits. So although it will cost some money to install pollution controls, that is part of the cost of operating and should be factored in, because the health impacts of those power stations across Australia are in the order of $2.6 billion per annum. And that's a health cost that's carried by ordinary families in Australia. And it's been transferred to them by the owners of the power stations, who for their part are happily making profit.
Air pollution researcher at Environmental Justice Australia, Dr. James Whelan, ending that story.